Catch the Boat by Maria Fontaine.
You may have heard the story of the man who was trapped in a flood and had a vision of God's hand reaching down and lifting him to safety. As the water started to rise in his house, his neighbor urged him to leave, offering a ride out of the danger. When the man responded, "I'm waiting for God to save me," the neighbor drove off in his pickup truck. This man continued to pray and hold on to his vision. As the water rose, engulfing the first floor of his house, he climbed to the roof. A boat came by with some people heading for safe ground. Coming alongside the house, they shouted to the man to climb into the boat with them. He yelled back that he was waiting for God to save him. They shook their heads in disbelief and left. The man continued to pray, believing with all his heart that God would save him. The flood waters continued to rise until only the roof was visible. A helicopter hovered over the nearly submerged house, and a voice came over a loudspeaker offering to lower a ladder and take him off the roof. Waving the helicopter away, the man again shouted adamantly that he was waiting for God to save him. The helicopter departed. Finally, the water rose over the roof and swept him away. He drowned. When he reached heaven, he indignantly asked, "Lord, why did you not save me? I believed in you with all my heart." God replied, "I did reach down my hand, in the form of a pickup truck, a boat, and a helicopter, to lift you to safety, and you refused all of them. What else could I do for you?" You may be wondering what this crazy story has to do with anything. Hang on, and I'll tell you. As I was planning to relate to you a few of my experiences, the Lord reminded me of this anecdote. It wasn't very flattering to think that He might be comparing me to someone like this, but I had to admit that when I become so sure of myself at times, there can be a lot of resemblance. Bronchitis. Some years ago, while on a trip with Peter, I developed a very bad cough. It continued for most of the time we were away and was getting worse, even though I was taking a range of natural remedies for it. Even after we got home, my coughing was continuing to keep both of us awake at night. Peter kept trying to persuade me to go to the doctor. I resisted, as I was sure that the doctor would give me medicine containing a lot of chemicals. To be honest, even though I was praying for healing, I was so sure of my opinion on the medicines that I didn't even seriously ask the Lord about that option. When I look back on it now, the parallel to the man on the roof doesn't seem so far-fetched after all. I continued researching and ingesting as many natural remedies as I could, but to no avail. Finally, Peter insisted that I go to the doctor. The x-rays and examination confirmed that I had bronchitis and was only a couple days away from having full-blown pneumonia. I finally had to yield to the little box of strangely named pills which the doctor had prescribed. Amazingly enough, in only 5 days, my cough was completely cleared up after weeks of taking natural remedies. He wanted to teach me something through this. He is not bound to one approach for achieving his purpose of helping us to grow, or even to one method of healing us. He can use anything. We just need to listen to him and follow his guidance. The chiropractor and my neck. This incident took place several years later, when I was again away from home. It's a bit embarrassing to tell you about it, because it seemed like I was having to relearn the same point, or a very similar one. I woke up one morning with a very stiff neck. I immediately surmised that I must have been in a breeze and the draft had resulted in the stiffness. Several days went by and I still wasn't able to turn my head. In fact, I was having to sleep propped up in a half-sitting position because of the pain. By this time, Peter was quite concerned about me, as I was losing a lot of sleep, and he suggested that I see a chiropractor. I protested, since I was adamant that I knew what it was. Besides, I knew there wouldn't be any chiropractors close to where we were. Also, the thought of having a chiropractor do adjustments on my neck was scary for me, especially when it was so sore. Several more days passed, and I was getting pretty desperate, and Peter again said, "I think we really need to look for a chiropractor." I finally acquiesced and went downstairs to the information desk of the hotel where we were staying and asked if they knew where I could find a chiropractor, not at all believing that there would be one around anywhere. The woman at the desk said, "Right across that little walkway there's a gym, and there's a man there who practices chiropractic. He's been here for several years, and people seem to be happy with him." So, almost grudgingly, I went and found the chiropractor, who turned out to be a very sweet man. I felt the Lord reassuring me that I could put my life in the hands of this man and that he wasn't going to damage my neck. In fact, it only hurt momentarily. With one adjustment, he pronounced that I was going to be okay now. One of the vertebrae in my neck just needed to be realigned. It was humbling that having resisted so vehemently what the Lord through Peter had been trying to show me, I was able to lie flat without any pain for the first time in a week. God's setup. It's interesting how the Lord uses little things to show us bigger issues. Again, I found myself with a stiff neck and I felt the Lord leading me to go to a chiropractor. However, when the time came for my appointment, my neck was almost completely better. At first, I concluded that there was no reason to see the chiropractor, because if there were any problems with my back, I would be having pain there. But then I could hear the Lord whispering, "Anybody can use a checkup, right?" I decided to go ahead with the appointment anyway. The chiropractor surprised me when he told me that, even though my neck was doing pretty well, my back was out of alignment and had been for some time. He proceeded to adjust my spine to help make me straight again, which required quite a few adjustments. The Lord had allowed something smaller, like the temporary bit of stiffness in my neck, to help me discover something bigger that needed to be corrected. He impressed on me that some of these lesser afflictions or problems are actually His setups to bring us to the point where we can discover and correct more important problems. I'm still learning that when I and others pray for my healing, I can't poo-poo the boats that God brings along that may be the solutions. I can't decide based on whether I like them or whether they're inconvenient or don't sound good to me. I have to be willing to look at each of them and ask the Lord, "Is this something that you have brought along to help me?" If I ask Him, Jesus said that He will answer. So no matter how odd it may sound or how uncomfortable it might feel, or if He says to take medications, I need to trust Him. After all, if He even spit in the dirt and made mud that He put on the eyes of the man who was born blind, and then told him to go wash it off, who am I to tell the Lord that He can't use absolutely anything to accomplish His purpose? Now, a note of caution. If we're considering trying something that's out of the ordinary for us or that might have side effects in any way, we should take the time to research both the potential benefits and potential problems and then pray, confirming with the Lord what He wants us personally to do. Then we will be able to make the decision based ultimately on faith in Him. The principle of making wise, prayerful decisions applies to all aspects of our lives. We have to make decisions all the time, and we can't tenaciously hold on to an approach or mindset just because we've used it in the past. We have to be open to the possibility that Jesus may have a new approach that He wants us to embrace. There may be some risk, and we'll have to proceed prayerfully and carefully, but we can't be closed to new things just because there's a chance that doing something new might not work. The miracles of Jesus broke the rules of common sense and the way things were naturally expected to be. We need to be open to His guidance and place ourselves in His care.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.